We appreciate you for joining us again today on Answers. Jesus began the Sermon on the Mount with a blessing. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It literally means blessed are the bankrupt in spirit. God wants to let the disenfranchised know that God does pay attention to them, and the resources of heaven are available to those empty vessels. It is amazing how God repeatedly chose barren women to have a miracle child. Now let's join Pastor and Answers Bible teacher, Craig Stallard, for the message today, Blessed Are the Barren.
I want you today to consider the desert. If every nation and every kingdom and this entire world, it belongs to God, then certainly the desert belongs to God. The desert is an unusual place because it doesn't always look good. It doesn't always do what that scripture says about the desert rejoicing. It doesn't always rejoice, all right? And the southwestern United States, I was looking, we have part of the great Sonoran Desert that's in our southwest, in Arizona, California, and then it goes on into Mexico, into the Baja. But once in a while, things would work out just right in a desert. And it is amazing that there are seeds that are sitting ready to sprout, sitting in the desert, somewhere in the sands, that are just waiting for that specific outpour from the sky. The reason the desert doesn't rejoice all the time is because the desert doesn't control the sky. And it has to have something come down from heaven before that desert looks like full of the blooms that you're seeing here. Something has to be poured out from heaven. There are seeds that sometimes wait 1 year for the touch from heaven. There are seeds that sometimes wait an entire decade for the touch from heaven. There are seeds that sprout in a desert that are actually 25 years old before they're touched by heaven. But when they're touched by heaven, something is different in the desert. You are looking at one of those great displays. There was one in 1998. There was one in 2005 that looks like this. You are looking at a desert, and you know when you look at that, you know something has happened. Glory to God. Blessed are the barren, because there's a God that's able to touch the barren. Isaiah chapter 35, it'll get you excited. I hope you can get excited about what Jesus wants to do today. Isaiah 35 says this, says, the wilderness and solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom not a little bit, but says it shall blossom abundantly. And rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. Lebanon was known as a beautiful place, even in Bible days. Beautiful hills and mountains and beautiful greenery, and even snows up in the top of some of the mountains. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. That's to the desert. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon shall be given to it as well. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. And there's nothing more spectacular and beautiful than when something that has no beauty all of a sudden has been touched to have beauty. Isaiah 35, 1 and 2, when it says the wilderness and solitary place, in the NIV it says the desert and the parched land. You're looking at the desert and the parched land. It shall blossom abundantly, they shall see. You are seeing the glory of the Lord when you look and behold that desert that is springing forth. And everyone can know this. When God touches something, it's going to be different. It was the divine plan of God that God chose a man by the name of Abram. God had decided that he wanted to give a man that had no children the name Father of Many Nations. I know that is unusual, and normally you wouldn't have a name change like that for someone that has no zero heirs, not a single child. But God wanted to call him Father of Many Nations before he ever had one. For his wife, Sarah, she went with him on this journey. He was 75 years old when they left his homeland because God had said, come out from your kindred, from your country, from your father's house into a land I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation. It's not just that you will become a great nation because he didn't have anything and had no hope of being a great nation. But God said, I will make of thee a great nation. From Genesis 12 to Genesis 17, five chapters go by and there's still no promise. Sarah actually jumps the gun and ends up making a horrible mistake. She figured, I'm too old, there's nothing going to happen here, so I'm going to get my handmaiden Hagar. And I'm going to send Hagar in to Abraham, and then maybe there can be a child there, and there was. But you know what? God didn't recognize that child as the promise because that child was just man's effort instead of God's miracle. And here's what happened. That ended up being one of the worst mistakes that was ever made in the history of the world. Because Genesis 16:12, it prophesied over that child that was of humanity, of human effort. He will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man and every man's hand against him. And if you know anything about the seed of Ishmael, the seed of Ishmael became the Arab nations that we know today. Many of them are controlled by Muslim rule. It's that group that has caused pain to many of the nations across the world. And that was because their hand would be against every man, and every man's hand would be against them. That prophecy has come true. It's just one evidence the Bible is real. Chapter 17, five chapters go by, and now Abraham is 99 years old. And God comes in to him again and says this, I am the Almighty God. You know, Abraham knew he needed something beyond himself. Abraham knew that there was no way that he could do it. And you know what? We have to get to that point where we know we can't do it. The people who think that they're self-sufficient in their own power, that's not the one God wants to work with. It's the people who have the desert experience in their life who know I can't be anything unless Jesus touches me. Hallelujah. Lord, help us to get free of our own selves. So here God shows up, and if there was ever an old man that needed God to show up, it was Abraham, because God had called him Father of Nations 25 years before. So God shows up and says, I am the Almighty God. And then renews a covenant with him and says, I'm going to change your name to a father of many nations. Now your wife shall bear and bring forth a son. And Abraham says, shall an old man, a child be born to him that is 100? And shall Sarah that is 90 bear? Abraham asked the question to God, shall this take place? And then Abraham tried to talk God out of it. He did. He said this, oh, that Ishmael could live before you. In other words, God, would you just go ahead and take him and just go ahead and call him the promise? And God's saying, nope, because that didn't come from the Almighty God. That was just your idea of revival. Are you hearing me now? I'll tell you what, we don't need man's concept of revival. I know that there's things that we do. We do projects. We do outreach and stuff. And sometimes we use human tools. But I'm telling you, real revival does not come from human efforts. Real revival comes when the Almighty God shows up and does things that only the Almighty God can do. There is a predictableness that's in barrenness. And it's this. Every day is the same as it was the day before. And if I have tomorrow, the only expectation I have is it'll still be barren. It's just going to be the way it was yesterday. It's going to be the way it was a year ago. It's going to be the way it was a decade ago. The sun is going to beat down on the dry earth. Nothing's going to happen. There's no rejoicing. It's just going to be barren. Ishmael, he was the son of the ordinary, but Isaac was the son of the miraculous. Folks, there's a difference. I know that we could go out and have our Easter drive and fill this up with kids and adults and maybe have a great crowd, but if God doesn't move, it was all worthless. There's many things that we can do in our own efforts, our own humanity, but I'm telling you, we have a God that wants to look upon the barren, and He wants to be the one that causes the sky to break loose and there to be something to fall on that barren ground and it bring forth in abundance. Church with no revival can become the church of ritual. When there's no mighty move of God, there's no miraculous. We can move on automatic. We can still have our songs, whether we have presence or not. But I want to tell you, there's a difference when the Holy Ghost comes. I did hear this. Their music group was here practicing one evening, and I wasn't there, but I was at the house. And I heard the voice of God speak something, saying, it's not the song that's going to move me, but it's the worship. God's going to do something in worship because the Bible says He inhabits the praises of His people. One thing that can cause rain to come down is when you break loose out of your ordinary and you cry out unto God and you begin to worship the Lord. He's going to inhabit the praises of those people. And the sovereign one will come and dwell with the lowly when they call out to Him. I'm not looking for the child of human efforts. I'm not looking for the child of ritual. I'm not looking for the child of program. I'm looking for the child of the sovereign Almighty God that intervenes upon the barren. It's nothing of humanity that causes the Word of God to have all this in it. I want you to understand the book of Samuel begins with a family being introduced. Elkanah was the husband, and he had two wives. One by the name of Peninnah and the other by the name of Hannah. Somehow the story of Peninnah gets lost because she didn't experience what the other one experienced, because Peninnah had children. But the Bible records this about Hannah. It says, Hannah had no children. She was the barren one that the story of the book of Samuel begins with. There was no book of Samuel without what happened to Hannah. But God can touch the barren.
Hear us from heaven. Hear us from heaven. Hear us.
If you would like someone to share your burden of prayer right now, call 361-633-3308 or log on to CalvaryLighthouseChurch.net. Answers has prayer partners throughout the KCTA listening area. God's promises are for you now. If you want to become part of Answers prayer team, let us know. We will be excited to share weekly prayer needs with you as a prayer partner. Also, if you have experienced an answer from God in prayer, call us. We want to rejoice with your praise report. Our number again is 361-633-3308. You can write us at Answers, P.O. Box 539, Portland, Texas, 78374. El Dios que servimos tiene la respuesta de necesidad. Si desea que alguien se asocie con usted en la oración, por favor, llámenos a 361-633-3308. Si Dios ha respondido su oración especial, danos tu reporte. Queremos alabar a Dios contigo. Respuestas es un ministerio en Calvary Lighthouse Church en Portland, Texas.